the attempted murder on a ghost, cursed paintings burning houses down, and lighthouse keepers vanishing without a trace. History is filled with the strangest stories, and I love diving into them and finding out what's really behind them. Who is the man in the iron mask? How did Rasputin survive being murdered multiple times? And what's the deal with the missing children of Hamelin? My podcast, Certainly Strange, is a collection of bizarre, true tales such as these. In each episode, I tell one of these stories and try to solve a puzzle, or at least share a theory or two. If this sounds interesting to you, come and join me on this journey through the strangest parts of our history, wherever you listen to your podcasts.
It goes like this and comes out of my mouth. It's hilarious. So I'm like, hey. Anyway.
Well, all should right. We dive into it now?
I think we should just dive right in. It's been an hour.
I knew we'd have a lot to talk about.
Yeah, I know. That's good. I'm glad. I'm going to try and get us through the actual run through quickly. Like, yeah. Just hit the things we have. Like, we don't have to talk about anything we don't have a comment about.
Mm-hmm.
So
sounds good to me.
I'm going
to
try that. All right. Ghosty fam, Amy here. Welcome to The Activity Continues, a podcast where three soul friends talk about all things paranormal. Ghosts, hauntings, psychics, movies and TV shows, especially The Dead Files, and other spooky and spooky adjacent things. We also like to interview people in the paranormal community, as well as past Dead Files clients and other interesting people. Sometimes we even tell your stories. I hope you enjoy the show.
Hello.
Hello.
And welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining us again. Today, as you might notice, it's just Amy and I. We're having a blast, as if you listen to our chatter that has been going on already in the sideshow that came out a little while ago, you'll know. Today, we're going to be talking about the Dead Files episode called Never Alone, which is from season 2. On Max Discovery, it's episode 11. On Travel Channel streaming, it's episode 9. So just look for the title of Never Alone in season 2. It originally aired over 11 years ago on February 1st, 2013. So, you know, that's just kind of where we're going today. And, you know, thankfully, it's been hotter and humider than heck out there right now. Mm-hmm. So I appreciated watching one where they looked a little chilly, but I would say that it wasn't that cold that they were sitting in with their hats and jackets on.
Yeah. Amy did have a hat on, and I think she may have had mittens on at one point.
She had flip gloves. So they had the fingers and then had the mitten that came over the top.
Yep. I got to get me some of those.
Yep.
Not for a few months yet, but
Amy, what are we warning people about today?
Well, this episode has suicide and child death in history, and also, this is also child death, but particularly or specifically a stillborn baby, which I know can be something people don't want to talk about. And we don't necessarily have to talk about it. It's one of the
it's something that'll be out there.
Yeah. Yep. One of the entities had that happen. And I think that's about it. I didn't think there was anything. I mean, not like that's not enough, because it's a little.
It wasn't as bad as some of the other ones we've seen of all the different things. But as always, just check the show notes if you're concerned about something.
Yeah. If we end up going off on a tangent and talking about something else, I'll make sure that's in the show notes. But as far as the Dead Files episode, that's what we encountered so far. So for housekeeping, just want to do a little reminder about the side shows that AP already mentioned. This one will be the one that we recorded before we started. This is number 4. So that would have been out, let's see, it'll be out June 13th. So by the time this comes out, August 1st, hopefully you will have heard that one already. So that's just what we're doing every other week. We will have Dead Files content, and the other weeks they will be the Chitter Chatter show. And then our patron Shannon mentioned, she's the one that recommended the episode we did last week.
Okay.
Last time.
Mm-hmm.
So she commented in Patreon about a little tiny short ghost story that I was going to read.
Nice.
So she said this is part of her comment about the episode she listened to today, which I can't remember the name of that one. They Come From the Stars, I think it was. Anyway, she said, oh, and before I forget, I was awake in bed this morning with the cat on me, and I heard a hand on the bedroom doorknob. So I turned my head, and I, this is all in caps, saw the door open a few more inches.
Oh.
Then heard footsteps go down the hall. I was sure it was my daughter. I got up, and my daughter's door was still shut, and she was still out cold.
Great. Yeah. Sounds like fun.
Yeah, that's fun.
Fantastic.
All right, so this is the overview for this episode. Today, we are headed to Forester, Michigan to meet the client, Crystal, and her family, who are experiencing noises, voices, footsteps, objects being moved, lights going off and on, and seeing shadows, as well as it taking an emotional toll on the whole family. The home was left to them by Crystal's mother, and they want to turn it into a bed and breakfast per her wishes. We learn that their sweet daughter, Brittany, is feeling like she's being watched and she sees a big black shadow figure. Amy encounters a few spirits, a former owner who is a creeper who tries to jump her, a young girl who is very energetic and talks nonstop. We don't know anything about that.
I have no idea who that could be.
Male and female dark figures that are psychokinetic manifestations, which is something new for me. Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
She also meets a ghostly grieving mother, which is that's what we referred to in the beginning. Steve speaks to a local author and learns of a local legend about a heartbroken young woman who died by suicide at 15 years old. By jumping off a pier into Lake Huron. He also meets a historian who tells him about a series of fires that devastated the community, killing hundreds of people. He then meets a genealogist, not a gynecologist, who tells him about a former property owner whose family suffered terrible grief. At the reveal, Brittany asks Amy a lot of really great questions, and they get to the bottom of what's happening and who is causing it. We see a spooky sketch, and Amy gives them their to-dos. Are they able to do what is needed? If you watch this on Max, you'll never know, because they cut it off and jumped right to the next episode without telling us.
Rude. Again.
I know, I watched it twice to make sure. Three times, actually. The third time, I already knew that it wasn't there. But we do have the results, so stay tuned. I'll let you know if the activity continues.
Ooh. I was wondering if you didn't get that because I didn't see it in the script at the end. And I was like,
it wasn't there.
I don't think she saw that.
It wasn't there. I did when I went onto Hulu and watched it on Hulu, so I could tell. But it was not on Max, and I verified that.
How rude.
Twice. I know. Rude. Okay, so segment one is, so from the very beginning up until Steve goes into town, just for you guys listening, that's the way we're going to try and do this. So we're going to give it the old college try. So the first thing that I noted was that as Steve is introducing the client to us, he says that the house that she's inherited is not only scaring her, it's tearing her entire family apart.
Oh man, we've never heard that before. But the thing is when you watch the episode, I didn't gather there was anybody really being torn apart, like family being torn apart in this one.
No.
As even in comparison to some of the other ones that we've listened to or watched, where they're like, oh man, there's a lot of fighting and stuff going on. Like, I didn't get that out of this episode.
No.
So there was, I think I put, gotta love the drama. And Steve was in his Easter green shirt.
Oh, I saw that you said Easter green, and I'm like, I don't know what that means.
Yep. Gosh. It was just a very bright, like, I don't remember seeing him in a color like that before or since, really. And it's kind of funny when you watch these earlier ones, like, we need to find that transition point where he stopped wearing suits at the beginning.
Yeah.
Because he went
probably
to
when they started doing them in the warm places and he's just in his polos.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know.
As we go on, then we go from Steve to Matt, who's like, it's obvious that a family lives here. I'm like, isn't this?
Don't it's we not have to a say business, this? So yes, it's a family.
Don't we have to say this about like every place we go into, and you got to take the photos down so they can't tell.
Right.
Amy can't be distracted.
You know, this is early on, but I think that in the beginning, they probably didn't realize that they have people that watch every single fucking episode. So they're like, oh, if you just happen to catch episode two or season two, episode 9 or 11 of our show, we have to explain how it works. So for the first couple years, they actually explained how it worked quite a bit more than they ever did later.
Which, as you're talking about that, wasn't it last year in season 15 that we were seeing like they would show Amy and then they would put medium underneath her name?
Oh yeah.
Because they don't do
That was
that in the early,
bizarre.
they don't do those in the early episodes. And the only thing I can think of is that they started doing that because, well, other shows do stuff like that, and then because they were introducing Cindy
Yes, that's what I
for the
think it
rest of the
was.
season.
That's what I think it was. Is they were like, in case anybody's confused, this is Amy. Next episode, it's going to
This
be
is Cindy.
Cindy.
Amy sure looks different and has a different accent
Oh my
now.
God. The people in the Dead Files group on Facebook. What happened to, well, who's that girl? What happened
I
to
know.
Amy?
I saw that. It's the okay, we're not gonna allow any more of these
Yeah,
posts.
nobody asked that stupid question anymore. You
Yes.
should know by now. But, and I, again, I don't want to go in too deep, but I did want to note that Amy, the first thing we see about her is that she says she found this guy or met this guy, and all of a sudden she said, I was him. And she said, that's never happened before in an opening, that I was the dead person or he was in me. And I'm wondering, I'm trying to think, has that happened since? I know that she's, that others, entities have had tried to jump her, but I don't know if that happened when she was opening, because I think sometimes, at least later on, she would open like in the car or
Oh
she
yeah,
would open at the
she usually
hotel.
opens before she gets there
Yeah,
is
yeah.
what we've kind of gathered, because occasionally she'll say, I didn't open till I got to the house.
Yeah.
But I remember episodes that she's been like, man, they were chatting me up in the car on the way here.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know if she's mentioned anything like that happening since, but I also put down like she was so like shy, quiet, reserved in this one, just, and maybe it was because of this guy right off the bat, like jumping, but her demeanor was very, I guess it was almost like demure, like it was
Yeah.
very in tight and just like calm, and it wasn't the one that we've seen in other episodes in that same season where she gets even a little bit more sweary.
Sweary. Yeah. Yeah. I should said the occasional fuck here,
Oh yeah.
but yeah. That guy, she calls him a big burly dude with calloused hands. And then she says she's getting a really sharp pain. And at one point, she was like scratching the back of her ear, but then I also did see her reach to her
I
back
don't think
at
she,
one
I
point.
watched that 3 times. I never saw her hands go up to her head during that section where she's
Oh.
talking, but she twitched her head a couple of times where I could see it, because I went back, I saw your note in there and I was like, oh, I didn't see that. So I went back and watched it, and then I went back and watched it again, and I was like, I think maybe in the before section she might have done that, but in
Maybe.
that section where she was talking about the pain, she never did. So I was wondering, like, for me, I was thinking, well, it kind of looks like she's kind of stretching her side a little
Yeah,
bit, and then
I thought I saw her like put her hand on like her back, the back rib cage.
yep
That's kind of
and
what I
then
thought she was
like
touching.
she like was
Yeah.
struggling to breathe kind of thing, so
Yeah.
that's why I like my assumption went right to torso, and then I saw your note and I was like, oh, I didn't see her scratch her head, but I see they're focused very in on her, just her
Yeah.
head and her
Yeah.
shoulders, but she twitches her head a couple of times
Yeah.
where maybe it
Yeah.
was in there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I noticed that too. I was like, ooh, yep, she's definitely being affected right here.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And then you had something about when they're talking to the client and she tells all the things she's experiencing and she goes down her checklist.
It was just like, check,
Doopy
we've got
doopy
unexplained noises. Check, we've got voices. Check, we've got footsteps. We've got
Yeah.
things moving. We've got lights going on and off. We've seen shadows. We're emotional. Like,
Yeah.
you just nailed the it's not even a
Right, right.
trifecta anymore. Like,
Yeah, and that's those should all be on the bingo cards.
yep. And you know, like I know we're being lighthearted and joking about it, but when you watch all the episodes and you're watching them very consistently, or if you watch them in a, you know, in a row or something, you start to see the little patterns that come up. And, you know, obviously it's part of the set. Tell me what's going on. Well, we have this, 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 and this. And then they talk a little bit more about it as they go through the episode. Mm-hmm. Because then, so Steve asks her, like, what's going on? And then they get into, well, how did you get here? Why are you here? Kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And that's when she talks about the bed and breakfast. And I just put, she's got such a Midwest accent, because she's like, inherited from my mom.
My mom. If you guys think we have a strong Midwest accent, you got to watch this episode, because that lady was us times 10.
Yeah. And like, it was just, you know, it's like, oh, bed and breakfast. I mean, that sounds great. Sounds like a lot of work. And yeah, I think it could be, but not if you got some undead guests that never pay.
No. Nope. Let's see. The next thing I think, I noted just when Amy talks about how she kicked the man out of her body. She said, he's ticked. He's pissed off and he won't talk to me because I won't let him inside my body. I'm like, yeah, that's typical.
Yeah, right?
That tracks.
Yeah, I think I just kind of put down like, oh, great, fun, because he keeps trying to enter and she mm-hmm. has learned how to do this and he's furious about it. And then she goes, so that was a voiceover that we hear her talk about, because then she talks about like her head is really hurting and like someone took your jaw and ripped it off. And again, we don't know who this is or what's going on just yet. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if this one ever really ties into any...
I think this was the landowner, wasn't it? I think it was the, what's his toast? The Hudson Harrison?
Okay.
Is it him? Harrison Cooper? I think it was him.
Yeah.
We'll get there when we get to the reveal. I think we can read and figure out which one it is. It was, I didn't think this one was as confusing as the last like two episodes that we did. Mm-hmm. We were all like, which one was that? Which one?
Well, because there, as we all know, that there's sometimes, or as we have learned, that sometimes there are spirits that are shown that are never talked about.
Yeah.
And sometimes, or they're talked about, but they make it try to fit the box of somebody else because Steve finds some information on them.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
We're like, we're not buying it. I don't think that's the match.
Yeah. So I don't, not sure if all of them kind of tied. I know there's one that I really want to talk about when we get into Steve's investigations, but mm-hmm. I did like how, as Steve is talking to Crystal throughout, like, what's going on? And she's talking about watching a light switch get manually flipped mm-hmm. on and off. God. And to me, I don't know how many of you have multiple light switches for the same room. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't get those damn bastards mm-hmm. on the right thing so that mm-hmm. one is up and one is down mm-hmm. and they're in the right directions. Oh, it drives me insane.
Yeah, we have that a couple of places.
I think we have one set that I just like, I'm like, I think this, the way that this was installed, you can't make them
probably.
Right.
Probably. Yeah. Yeah, that drives me crazy too. Oh, I loved your, when he asked about documentation from the house or how old the house is. She says, I have documentation from 1892. And then Steve goes, so this house is old. Any deaths in the area?
I know. I couldn't help myself. I'm so snarky when I watch some of these. So here's what I put, dear listener. I said, no, Steve, everyone who has ever lived in this area is still alive. They're probably the vampire capital of the U.S. I'm sorry. That is a stupid question. Like, of course there's been other deaths. Nobody edited that to be like other mysterious deaths or other murders. And so this is, we hear now about a woman or young girl named Minnie Quay, and that she'll be kind of a theme that runs throughout here. But just like, I sat there for a second, I was like, I rewound it and I listened to it again. I was like, did seriously nobody catch what he just said?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it wasn't asking about mysterious. It wasn't asking about murders. It wasn't asking about any of that. It was just any other deaths in the area. No, everyone's still alive.
Yeah. Yeah. And he didn't even say other.
No.
At least according to the transcript.
Oh, yeah.
He said,
no,
are there any deaths in the area?
Any deaths.
I think so, Steve. Like you said, they're not all vampires.
Her mom.
Yeah.
She inherited the house from her mom.
Yeah. For sure. But yeah, Minnie Quay, so they said she's a local legend that Crystal is telling Steve about. She's like, it's what something we've heard ever since we
That
were
is
kids.
like check for local legend is stuff doesn't all add up here.
Yeah.
Or, as we learn about some of it, but it's kind of like the house at the end of the street where the old witch lives
Yeah,
and there's
we
really
had one of
nobody
those.
there. Yeah, that's what it was painting like to me, but I get that that's the local lore,
Yeah.
right?
Yep. And I believe that in the next part, that time that we see Amy, that's when she sees that this is the girl that doesn't stop talking. And the way Amy explains it, she's really funny. She's like, I can't understand a word she's fucking saying. She's like, oh, la, 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 like, right? Like, la. And she's like, she needs to calm down, calm it down, calm it down. And I said, calm your tits, woman.
And I said, oh, so she's us.
Yep.
Yep.
Let's see. Oh,
Then
yeah.
we haven't hit the whole Minnie Quay story yet, so we will be
Yeah,
getting
no.
to that local
Yeah.
legend here soon. But Steve's face when he's talking, when they're in the second floor and he's talking with Crystal, she's talking about being in bed one night, hearing footsteps coming up the stairs. She gets out of bed to look at the top of the stairs, expecting to see somebody, and there's no one there. As we're walking down the steps, we realize at that point we were being followed, and they've spanned to Steve's face, and he's just like, he just looks dumbfounded. Like it was just so funny in that section. And then he's like, kids were downstairs.
It wasn't the
And
dog, Steve.
she told you that no one was there.
Yeah. Yeah,
Yep.
it wasn't the dogs. It wasn't the plumbing.
I did
Yeah.
put that in there. Maybe it's the
I
plumbing, Steve.
mean, let's
Just
just
because
talk.
the last two
Yeah,
episodes have
last
been
two
plumbing.
were. Yeah. And then, yeah, he says that, what if Amy tells you you have to go? And she basically is like, probably not going to.
Yeah, I at least this seems to be before the era of the dream house. This is our
Yes.
dream house.
Yes.
And like we all get, it's not easy for people to just up and move on a whim,
Right.
especially if you are worried about selling your house to somebody else,
Yeah.
kind of thing, even though it's not stuff that needs to be disclosed because there are no like regulations on hauntings. And maybe there are in different states, but
I
I don't
do
think
not
there's
think
a.
that you have to disclose hauntings. I think you do have to disclose if somebody died in the house, but
Yes.
I don't think you have to disclose about hauntings because it is not something that everybody believes in.
Correct.
That's like saying, I'm not going to disclose that Jesus is in my house because some people don't believe that. So it's, I think that the haunting thing,
Yeah.
I don't think you have to disclose, but I think you
No.
do have to
Because,
disclose
well, and
deaths
it's
in the house.
also like it's tough to prove to
Yes.
everybody, right?
Right.
Like,
Right.
yeah.
Right. Right.
So like I get that, and it was just kind of like, well, I want to make this a bed and breakfast. I'm like, okay, so seriously, you're gonna put this into a business when you're not sure what could happen in your
Yeah.
business with the things that are happening to you.
Yeah. Which is, it's good that they went and got help before they did that then too, so that we didn't have any big problems. But yeah, then we meet daughter Brittany, not to be confused with the Brittany that we always make fun of,
Yep, no, but
but
this is
this
a
is a,
sweet Brittany.
yes, she reminds me so much of my niece. She looks just like her. My niece is a grown up lady now. She's an
Well, so is
adult.
this girl.
But she is now, yeah. But was it, how old would you say she is?
I would put her at between 8th and 10th grade, so 13 to 16.
Yeah, I was gonna say 16. I don't believe they ever said how old she is.
No, I don't, and I almost put her at the 14 to 15 total,
Okay.
but just on based on mannerisms, and like that was 13, 14 was the age group that I taught. She was in the time that I was teaching,
Okay.
kind of thing. So just very much reminded me of a lot of kids that I taught, like the super swept bangs, like
Yeah.
the part was all the way on one side of the hair, and there was the super swept bangs and kind of the heavier eye makeup. I can picture a couple of students that I had that I'm like, that's who she reminds me of.
Yeah.
So she would, she'd be mid-20s right now, most likely.
Yeah.
And
She was, I think the reason I thought she might have been a little older is because she was so so mature, I thought, in like the way that she talked and the way she, at the end when she talked to Amy and the question she asked. So I thought she was a little older for that. But yeah, she, I mean, you know that age kid better than I do. So I, you're probably
and that's,
right.
Yeah, like, I don't know if I would just like looking at her, I wouldn't, I mean, people get my age wrong all the time too. I don't know that I would put her at 16. I'd feel like 15, but then there was times that I was like, well, that seems a little bit more like some of my students, but I could see it being, so yeah, I think she's in that age range, but that like, you can see she's very uncomfortable when she's talking with Steve though too. And she's got her hands in at her like waist level, and she's just fidgeting with her fingers because we have a further out shot of her, and she just looks very nervous. Though I think her demeanor between when she's talking with Steve and talking with Amy is very different.
Yes, I thought so too. Yeah. And I don't know, some of that might have been nerves of being in front of the camera. And then, you know, at the reveal, she's been doing this for a few days and now she's more comfortable.
Right.
I don't know, but could have been any of that. But we really liked her.
Yes.
Brittany, if you're out there, if you're listening to this, we would love to talk to you.
Brittany from Never Alone.
Yes, Brittany from this episode.
Yes.
Not Kitchen Witch. Although that would be fun too. She would never come on the show. All right. So yeah, they would just, we're not going to get into everything, but so we're just going to see that Amy, let's see, speaking of the kitchen. Yeah. She sees a shadowy figure in the kitchen. Amy, then they show her, she sees a male and a female and she's pointing to the room. This is the male. This is the female. One's angry. One's sad. And then she says they're black masses that are the beginnings of a psychokinetic manifestation. I can't tell where they came from, but they're powerful and can affect people in this house, especially whoever sleeps in that room. And of course, that's your Brittany. And it makes you hurt inside.
Ugh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, what is this? What is this psychokinetic manifestation? We find out more in the reveal.
Yeah. I like that she explains these terms and stuff for us.
I feel like there's more voiceovers earlier on than there is.
Yeah. I think you're right. There were, because there was quite a few in this one.
Mm-hmm.
So then we meet Crystal's husband, Mike, and he is for once not a skeptical, you know, non-believer. Oh, my wife's
He's not
just
a skeptic,
nuts.
Greg.
Right. Right. Or a rude, you know, oh, she's just crazy.
Yeah.
So he sees a shadow in the dining room. Steve says, explain it to me or describe it to me. And he says it was about this wide, but he gestures about a foot, maybe.
Which to me, as he was doing that, because you and I both made comments on this. So we have a joke, because you can always see it, obviously, outdoors and we fish and stuff. And so you always say, yeah, it was this big. And you put out your thumb and your pinky finger, and then you hold the space in between. So what you really was this big, but you're telling people it was this big.
So you're point, the space that it really is the space between your thumbs.
Your thumb and your pinky.
You want to make it look.
No.
Oh,
so like the space.
This, okay.
Not between your thumb and your pinky.
I thought you were saying like this big versus this big.
So yeah, like truthfully, your fish was, yeah, it was this big. So the space between your two thumbs, because that is, you know, like he did with the hands. That's the space that you see. But we always joke because most people, it's like, it's actually the space between your pinky finger and your thumb, which is because you just got little tiny ones.
Right.
So it's the fisherman's tale. It's always, it was an odd, like, I don't know. They're just, Steve didn't have the chemistry in this group with this group that well. Like it was all just really awkward conversations.
He did have
a
fuddled look on his face a lot. Yeah.
And it could be just the way it was shot, or maybe there's something that rushed them through, or
yeah. The only other thing I wanted to mention here before we get on to segment two is when Amy is talking about the energy at one point, just kind of, she felt a whoosh and then everything just went really still and there was nobody talking. There were no voices. She was getting chills. It felt like she was being touched. And then she said, it's really tall and it bends over.
Ugh,
the sea, and it's really creepy. It's like 9 feet tall. It has to bend over. And she said, I don't feel good. I feel really sick. And then she goes, that's it. This is bad. And I wondered if that was one of those times that she got sick.
Yeah.
Because she really seemed like she was having a hard time. And she was like, I gotta get the fuck out of here.
I gotta get out of here now. Like it was like, I gotta go.
Yeah.
And I was like, ew.
Yeah.
It has to bend to see. I, like, hate it. Hate it.
No, no,
Hate
that
it.
was nasty. Nasty. So that was segment one.
Yep.
Segment two is where Steve goes into town. Steve going to town. He first talks to Denise Dutcher, who is a Dutcher, who is a local author. And she's the one that tells us the story of Minnie Quay. AP and I both noted that it was shot so, like, atmospherically, like they were in the dark, almost like they're telling campfire stories with a candle under their chins,
well,
you know?
I think they were in, it almost looked like kind of a round foyer type room, you know, like sitting room type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that they couldn't control the light source.
Yeah.
And so they were trying to shut blinds and things, because then you got like these weird lines across mm-hmm. their face. And yeah, it definitely gave like a vibe to it. But I kind of think it's unintentional, because
oh,
when
really?
They did the shot that's looking around the room, I think it was a bright sunny day and they couldn't block the curtains or blinds well enough.
Okay.
And probably maybe that it looked like a historic building that they couldn't just bring in and duct tape
Yeah.
Plastic to the windows or anything.
Yeah, it did look like there was sun coming in the windows. So they probably just did, I think they wanted it to look a little spooky, because you know they do that. They put on the fog lights and all that stuff.
I think they wanted it darker, but I don't think they could have gotten it darker with the way that room was set up.
Yeah. So this is poor Minnie Quay, which we will talk about, because her story is interesting. She was 15 years old. This was on April 27th of 1876. Is her death. Yes. They show her death certificate. Her real name is Mary Jane Quay. Yep. Her parents are John and Mary Quay. I will have some links in the show notes, but I noted that it said that she, her Find a Grave page on findagrave.com says that she was born in 1861, which would have made her 14, but all the other accounts say she was 15, almost 16, actually. Her death certificate says she was 15 years, 11 months old. So
they must have had the wrong year.
They must have had the wrong birth day of birth, because her date of birth, I did not see on the death certificate.
Yep.
So just there was some stuff interesting in the Wikipedia page about her. And there's two other articles about her. And one of them, the Wikipedia page, says her own mother would often yell out loud enough for others in town to hear that she would rather see her dead than with this man.
Yeah.
And this was a guy that was a sailor, and he was, you know, so they lived right near the pier, was right across the street from the family's home. And she met this sailor and fell in love with him. And then she got word that he died while at sea, and was so devastated, she threw herself into the icy waters.
This is where I have the problem.
Erie. Huron. Huron?
Huron.
Huron.
Huron. So this is where I have the problem with this.
Okay. Yeah.
It sounds like every other story we hear about a lady in white, a lady in gray, a lady in black, a lady in red, who was in love with a man, and then he said he loved her, and then he left and never returned, and she threw herself off the balcony, threw herself off the catwalk, threw herself off the widow's walk, threw herself off a pier. So I know that this author has done a lot of research. She's written two books on the whole thing. But I mean, how much stuff can truly be out there? Remember that history is written by the victor, or how they want the story to be told. I don't know. It could be 100% true. I feel that there's some embellishments, or there's some things that don't feel quite right. And I think, and maybe I'm just so skeptic on the whole, I've listened to how many episodes of And That's Why We Drink, where M covers a lady in white or a lady in gray or a woman who was waiting at the lighthouse or at whatever and throws herself off of something, or in a hotel in the Old West and jumps off of the balcony of the fourth floor. It just feels convenient.
Yes. And the more I have been learning about the way that society has made us women feel like we have to have the man, or, you know, we're incomplete, or we're useless, or whatever, I think these stories just play into that. And they want us to be like, oh no, she didn't have a man. I can see why she threw herself into the lake.
Well,
even
it's,
though
I mean,
this girl was 15, she could certainly have found another man in her life. But
right. And this is truly also like, if people haven't realized, society has taught women to, the reason why we have always struggled as a society as women supporting women is because it has been engraved in our brains to survive, we have to outcompete the women for the resources of the best man who will make the best children, who will provide the best life. And once you get past that point and you start looking, you're like, no, I can celebrate. I can celebrate all the women in my life and what they do. But it definitely does play into some of these things. And, you know, we hear that supposedly her mom used to yell that I'd rather see you dead. But then it sounds like that her parents weren't in town. But then we hear about a woman screaming, looking for her from Amy. And even from some of the stories, the eyewitness stories was like the mom was screaming and looking for her daughter. I thought she wasn't there.
Well, and at one point, her father, Minnie's father, locked her in her room for an extended period of time because they did not want her seeing this man.
She was a wild child. Yeah, that was the other thing that is the she was boy crazy and a wild child. And I'm like, this hasn't aged well, has it?
Also fits into that same narrative of, you know, that she had to get this guy that she wanted. She's only going to be fulfilled if she's got this
which
man.
It sounds like she was just trying to get out of a domineering rule in her house, and she was trying to find a way out, and maybe it was the devastation of that was her way out.
Yeah, she probably thought that was her way out. And Amy, when Amy sees her, she says she's married. And I wondered if maybe she did, like, if they did run off and get married at some point. And I also wondered if she was pregnant. I actually thought she threw herself in the water because she was pregnant and didn't want to have to do that by herself. But that's
I'm just not fully sold that she threw herself in the water.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well,
I mean,
well, and like you said, maybe she slipped, because when they show later, when they show Amy at that space and she's walking around, it's really rocky. And it looks like you could slip really easily on those rocks.
Right.
And
well, and I, Amy, I can send you a video of just like the waves that are crashing in. April is still like up in the, around the lakes. It is cold,
really
and
cold,
that water is cold. And it, I mean, April 27th, the high temperature could have been 30 degrees that day if you're on the wrong side of the lake, because it's called lake effect. And if you've, I mean, I've done a polar plunge. I've done a couple polar plunges, which is something that in the States, in different states, we have that is a fundraiser for our state's Special Olympics. And so they cut a hole in the ice and you jump in and you go to the other side and you climb out. And I will tell you, you jump in and you go, because the like air, your body just constricts around everything.
I've just jumped in a cold pool and felt that there's no way I could do that in a icy water.
Well, and you know, that's the thing is like, I'm like, well, maybe she slipped and didn't mean to. But then, you know, when we hear Amy talking about like the head or the side injuries and some of those things, I'm like, so gruesome part, they use grappling hooks to retrieve her body. So then I'm wondering, was she not quite dead yet?
Yeah.
Because we don't, they don't say, we don't get told how long she was in the water.
Right.
But if she was out for too long, she would not have been easily recovered.
Yeah.
Because cold water takes the air out.
Yeah.
Which is why Lake Superior is one of those that if something goes down in Lake Superior, you're never seeing it again.
I just noted they mentioned that she was, that eyewitnesses watched her just walk down Main Street, walk through the town and
in
head
a
for
white
the pier.
Dress.
And I'm
in
like,
a white
okay,
dress.
First of all, yeah, that's really theatrical. But if it is true, I wonder if she was like in a trance or something, like just was catatonic sort of and just on her mission.
Or
I don't know. Or it didn't happen at all.
here's my thing to throw out is that somebody maybe walked down that street. And then it was just told to people that That was Minnie. Minnie threw herself off the pier. Because it sounds like it was done in broad daylight.
Yeah, it does.
And if all these people saw her, then why was nobody able? I mean, they saw her dive in. I mean, I know, I understand, like, you can't get everything. Like, you can't rescue everyone, right? You can't, like, some things just happen. But it's not like she probably wasn't struggling at some point, because even if you're resigned to do that, you're still, your body's still going to fight.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know. But yeah, when Amy is, she says, I can't breathe. Mm-hmm. And then she says, I think she's dying.
Yep.
And that,
I just struggle with the whole, I mean, I'm sure there's truth behind the story. And again, I know that this author has done a lot of research, and I'm not discrediting any of that. I just, when you've seen the same type story play out in hundreds of ways across the country, it just, it makes you question.
Yeah. And like I said, I think it's just that they like this trope because it puts us in our place. And because, you know, think about what would have happened. What would our world be like right now if 200 years ago, women stopped fighting each other for the man and just started supporting each other? Think what our world would look like right now.
Yeah.
Wouldn't look like it does now. Tell you that.
Well, and I think even when we, when at the beginning of learning about Minnie Quay, I put in there, like, why is she a local legend? A woman died by suicide and she's a local legend. Like,
Well, maybe because she did it in front of everybody.
It's because of the fanfare.
Yeah.
It's a, that's all part of that legend aspect, is there is all this fanfare that went behind it that has now created this story that, well, Amy, you were there. Didn't you see her? Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah, I saw her.
Well, everybody wants
to
be part of the story.
Exactly.
You know, and so I saw her. Yeah.
Yeah. And as you've stated before, like, you've found articles in the past of different things it was one that we did a couple months ago. And you're like, the stories didn't quite add up. They didn't quite, like, based on who wrote it, it showed different information.
So the next thing, I think, are we good with Minnie? Do you have anything else?
I think we got where we wanted to with Minnie.
Okay. And then the next thing is, there were a couple of fires that came that basically devastated the town, destroyed the area. And we are talking now to a local historian, and he is talking about these two fires. 1871, there was a massive fire that just hopscotched its way across the state. Hundreds.
Yeah, it's, I think
hundreds.
It started in Wisconsin, actually.
Yes.
I saw that.
Did
so
say that.
Yeah. The area that we're talking about in of Michigan is the thumb of Michigan. So it's the mitten state kind of thing.
Right.
Wisconsin does that too, but the other way.
Yeah.
I can't remember which one. Yep.
Yeah. I think Wisconsin is. Anyway, so then that fire happened in 1871, and then they rebuilt. And then there was another fire in 1881 that spelled doom the second time around.
Yes.
It damaged the property pretty badly. We see a couple of photos. I do have a link to the fire of 71. If I'll put that in the show notes, if anybody wants to read about that. So then he's like, you aren't kidding. That has a dark past. This town has a dark past. I'm like, okay, all right.
Thanks for joining us, Steve.
Not. I don't know that I would describe a couple of fires a dark past. Like, when I think dark past, I think like murders.
They weren't set by anyone. Yeah, it was, you know, like, happened. Stuff happens. Wildfires have happened throughout forests and woodland and prairie areas for the history of Earth.
Yeah. Steve finds out about, we have to talk about Amy. She sees the fire. She, in her walkthrough, she sees something happened. Everybody went away. There were people yelling and screaming. There was a woman in blood, and she's got a little boy who's dead. And then we talked to the genealogist.
Another genealogist. Oh, yeah, the genealogist. Sorry. Yeah. It was an author before.
Oh, yeah. That was an author. And she learns, she teaches Steve about Harrison Cooper, who
Yes.
was a landowner. He's the guy that all know. That's who. This is who I think is the burly guy, but we don't get a picture of him, do we? She didn't have a picture of him.
I don't think
Did she?
so.
I don't recall a picture of him. And so he had purchased this land. He lived there with his wife. They had a daughter. Her name was Emma Joy. And then the fire wiped out everything. And his wife was pregnant. She gave birth to this little boy. And then mom died of a heart attack. And Harrison is left with his daughter, Emma, and a baby. And then 2 weeks later, the baby died from malnutrition. So apparently he was not taking care of that baby. And then...
Well, that's woman's work, Amy.
Yeah, that's right. And the only other woman there was Emma Joy, and she was a baby. Or not a baby, but a child.
Toddler, yep.
Toddler. And so then he marries his sister-in-law, as you do.
That seems like it was fairly common.
Yeah, and it was in 1894, for sure. So then his daughter Emma then was grown up, lived there with her husband, and then Emma gave birth to a stillborn baby.
Yep.
So now he's lost a grandchild and a child.
And a wife.
Yes, and a wife. And they do think that the baby was buried on the property.
Yes.
And we see a death certificate, but it's all crinkled up. It's really hard to read.
Yeah. See, this is why I was confused if this was the first one that Amy talks about, the first burly guy, if that was Harrison Cooper or not, because when she talks about the pain, because we never hear about how he died or any of that sort of stuff. So that's why I wasn't sure if, like, was that two different things that they melded into one section kind of thing? So,
well, now that you mention it, and I did, like I said, I saw this like three times, but we'll get there because we're almost to the reveal now anyway. But maybe Harrison is one of the blobs.
Yes, she believes that he's one of
that
manifestation is him and Emma.
Emma, not his wife, his daughter.
Yes, okay. Emma being the one with the stillborn.
Right. Okay, yeah, I do remember them saying that now.
Yep.
Okay, so sketch. She says she's going to draw the black masses in the bedroom upstairs. Oh, do we have something else?
No, before that, we have Amy talking about the woman who is really sobbing.
Oh, yeah,
and she's holding the baby that died. And she's petting it.
Petting it.
Which just, to me, that elicits, like, obsession and, like, she never was able to control or handle. And so this...
Yeah.
Two things. This could be Emma and her baby, or it could have been Emma's mom because she died of a heart attack, quote unquote, and lost her child then shortly thereafter.
Right.
So all she knows is that she's a woman who has blood all over her dress and she's holding this baby and petting it. So to me, again, like obsession didn't deal with the loss. But then she's fading. And she doesn't want to fade away. But she, you know, she actually doesn't want to because she likes to be around those memories, even though they're bad. And this is again where it's maybe like this is Emma if the baby was buried on the property.
I tend to think this is Emma because if her dress is bloody, she's probably just given birth.
She's stuck in that state.
And she's stuck in that state and she's probably petting that child because she is trying to revive it.
Yeah, that's where I'm like, it's like an obsession. It's, you know, like I haven't dealt with this. What happened? What's going on here?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think she's stuck in that state.
Yeah.
Even though she herself did not die in that state.
Yeah.
So I pulled that out because I was like, she's fading. Like we haven't heard Amy say, like we've heard somebody's being like eaten by the house or absorbed by the house, but we haven't heard about somebody just fading away.
Right. Yeah. That was interesting.
So now we get to the sketch.
And she describes what's going on. The sketch artist says, Amy, is this about right? And Amy says, yes. Thank you for listening. The activity continues. We'll be back after this short break. Unleash the power of stories anywhere, anytime with Audible. Immerse yourself in gripping stories, insightful knowledge, and captivating characters anytime, anywhere. Audible is your library on the go. With hundreds of thousands of titles across every genre, there's a world of reading waiting for your ears. Listen while you cook, clean, or commute. Free your eyes to conquer your day, all while feeding your mind. Start your 30-day free trial today and discover the joy of listening. Go to audibletrial.com/TAC. That stands for The Activity Continues. With your free 30-day trial, you get one credit, two credits if you're a Prime member, good for any premium selection titles you like, yours to keep. You get the Audible Plus catalog of podcasts, audiobooks, guided wellness, and Audible originals. Listen all you want, no credits needed. Again, that is audibletrial.com/TAC. If you're a regular listener, you know we love our three spirit drinks.
They are the non-alcoholic spirit drinks that are taking the world by storm.
Three Spirit is a range of three distinct drinks, each with its own unique flavor and effect.
The Livener is a refreshing and invigorating drink that is perfect for starting your day or night.
The Social Elixir is a smooth and sophisticated drink that's perfect for sharing with friends.
And the Nightcap is a calming and relaxing drink that's perfect for winding down before bed.
All three drinks are made with plant-based ingredients and are free from alcohol, gluten, and sugar. They're also vegan and ethically sourced.
So, whether you're looking for a delicious and refreshing drink to enjoy on its own, or a sophisticated non-alcoholic alternative to cocktails, Three Spirit is the perfect choice for you.
Try Three Spirit today and discover the difference. Visit us.threespiritdrinks.com and use the promo code THEACTIVITYCONTINUES for 15% off your entire order.
Cheers!
That was the best one yet.
Okay, segment three. So, the reveal. Steve introduces everybody and that they want to make it into a bed and breakfast, yada, yada, yada.
And it's Crystal, Mike, and Brittany. So the three we did meet during the episode.
Yes. And you had a note about the way Steve sits.
Yeah, so have you noticed this at all? And he does it a lot. Steve has a tendency to rest, like he puts his index finger out and he puts it to his temple, and that's where he kind of rests his hand. He's not, or his head, he's not resting on the full like fist or anything. And it's always like he'll lean into it and he does it several times, but it's always like in the temple range of where he's doing that. So it was just something I noticed, and I was like, he seems to be doing that a lot.
Yep, I have noticed that. So we find out that, so Amy talks about the bad thing that happened outside. Steve connects that to the fires.
Mm-hmm.
And then, blah, 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 let's see. Oh, she talks about the man that came and tried to get into her body when she opened. And then poor Brittany almost interrupts Amy by saying, what did he look like?
Mm-hmm.
And then Amy describes him as a big, very husky guy. And Steve goes, why'd you ask her that? And she goes, because I've seen a man. It's a dark shadow.
Mm-hmm.
And then Amy says, is he big? And she says, yep. And then she's like tearing up. Amy says, are you okay? Mm-hmm. Oh, I felt so bad for her. And then poor Brittany asks if he's dangerous. And she said, yeah. Say you're sleeping. The distinction between reality and dreams can get blurred. And then Steve says, yep, she's having nightmares.
Mm-hmm.
And then he can come and go. And Brittany says, does he watch us? And Amy says, well, yeah. She's like, well, I feel like I'm being watched. That's why I asked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Now Amy talks about going upstairs, seeing the woman sobbing, really crying, like really hard. And heard someone say, well, the baby died.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's, I mean, I can't imagine there being another mother crying about a dead baby. If it wasn't Emma, because her baby died in childbirth. And so I think it must be Emma.
I do too. I just, there is that connection that it could have been from the fires. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it could have been something completely random and just somebody who died. Yeah, exactly.
It easily could be something like that. And then it's just tied to because, hey, this is what we do have a connection here.
Right. So they do talk about it. Steve connects, I think. It looks like he's connecting Harrison Cooper to the big burly man.
Yep. And he asks, he basically, or no, Crystal asks, well, do you think that that's Emma then, to Amy? And she's just like, well, it would seem like it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not fully, like, if you read Amy's body language, yeah. She's like, I mean, from what I know.
Well, they don't have pictures of these people. So exactly. She can't like look at the picture and say, oh, that's totally him. That's totally the guy I saw. You know, so they don't have any pictures of these people.
Yeah. I will say too, though, just that whole interchange with Amy and Brittany and stuff. It was just like, Brittany's asking great questions because she wants to know the answers. And I think I have it somewhere in here too, that it's like, there just seems like there's like a cutoff at one of the points where it seems like Amy went into a lot more detail, a lot more stuff, because we just go from like, and it's more towards the like, what can you do? But it was just this hard cutoff. And I was like, I feel like we're missing a lot right here, because now we have to go to like what they need to do in order to.
Yeah, that would not shock me at all, because this was a long reveal in comparison. I checked the clock. I mean, the
timer
at the bottom, the thing at the bottom. That's what
the ticker,
how much
tape.
Time is left. Yeah, that it was like 15 minutes where it was like a third of the show. Mm-hmm. Or usually it's like the last quarter. It was a good third of the show. So they did a lot. That reveal must have been hella long.
Yeah.
And they obviously had to cut a lot out. So I'm guessing that's what happened. And they left a lot in, because the other two sections were much shorter than they usually are. But so, yeah, then they talk about Minnie and let's see. Amy says she thinks it probably is Minnie.
Yeah, the woman who's the crazy lady, or the woman who's just chattering.
That won't stop talking. Yeah. Yep.
And she talks about the, you know, someone yelling, where are you? Where are you? Which I'm associating is likely her, Minnie's mother calling for her. That's what I got from Amy about that. And then Steve kind of tells the story and we go back through the whole thing. And Amy's like, oh, man, oh, no. Like, really? She did that? And Crystal, yeah, we've been told this, you know. All our lives, we've been told this. And Steve's like, yeah, you know, could that be Minnie Quay, the same girl? And Amy's like, yeah, I think it very well could be. She might be going between different locations all the time. And it's more than just this house. So because she got her out on the street too, but she was different on the street. And then that's when Amy segments away from Minnie to the next person being a girl. Oh, no, she talks about the girl being wild and crazy. She sees one outside that she thinks is the same Minnie Quay, but then she's different inside the house.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
Yeah. I just wanted to note, I think we both noted that when Brittany and Amy are talking and Amy describes the two blobby things in the room. And she says they're very, very creepy. And they show Brittany and she's wiping tears and she just quietly says, I see it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they cut to commercial.
And then they come back. When they do show the picture, though, they look like those things you see at the car lots.
Yes, they do.
That are blowing up in the crazy arms.
They do. Not as cute, but they do.
But that's where Amy said, I think this one is him. The one on the left side of the picture, she thinks is Harrison Cooper. And it's the manifestations, let's see if they can make you feel sick and dizzy. The male one was trying to jump me. This is just a part of him. And the nasty emotional part, but there's also the separate conscious entity that is his own person. So basically what she said is that these are manifestations that are poltergeist-like, but they're spirits that are creating these poltergeist-like
things.
Instead
of living people. Yep.
Instead of living things.
Yep.
And they can make this jump to being separate entities if they have enough energy around them, basically.
Yep, yep.
And she kind of called out, you know, poltergeist stuff usually happens around teenagers. So that made me wonder, too, like, is Brittany, are her emotions feeding these things a little bit with some potential PK or poltergeist activity from her that's then feeding into these funnels?
Yeah, it could be. She could be inadvertently feeding it some energy.
Because she does bring up like that poltergeist activity happens with teenagers.
Yeah. And then Steve goes, so where are you sleeping tonight? Brittany.
Yeah.
Because those things are in her room.
Not here.
And then, not here. And then Amy goes, I wouldn't sleep in your room right now. No way. And I'm like, well, if Amy won't, then I sure as shit would not.
Yeah. Yep. I found the part where it says, Amy says, they're reaching out. I think it's because of your age. A lot of poltergeist hauntings will be around teenagers and they'll be the conduit for it. So they feed off the living person's energy.
Yep. Which makes total sense.
And then this is when we see like a hard cut off. And it was like, because Brittany asked, well, is it just me or my parents too? And Amy goes, you.
You.
And then Steve goes, now that we know the results.
Yeah. Like, there was a lot.
There was obviously a lot that was cut there.
Yeah.
And which is interesting that if what I think was probably in that was what was cut, that is why I was like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I think Brittany has a little bit of ability that's pulled off on here. And that's why, I don't know why it's not being talked about, but.
Yeah, I thought that too. I thought obviously she sees everything. It's really affecting her. So she's sensitive.
She's asking all the questions.
And she knows what to ask. Yep. So I think she's a little bit more on the medium level than
at least receptive.
Indicating. Yes. Yeah.
All right. So Amy, what did Amy tell us that they need to do?
Well, she says they need to get a medium to come in and help move Minnie on, not talk to her, not do anything, just move her on. Then the medium will go up to the room and ask the male to receive this, pointing to the left blob, back as a part of him so that he is whole, and then move him on. And then she needs to deal with the other blobby thing. And that needs to get you basically get her to come and collect her energy, which is basically what she said about the guy too, and then take it out of the house. Amy says it's a funky emotional energy that needs to be contained and removed from the house, and the medium needs to do that. And then she's like, go ahead and sleep in another area of the house until this shit is taken care of.
So where are you sleeping tonight?
With you, Steve.
Yeah, just was one of those that was like, we have found a better way to ask a teenage girl where she's sleeping.
Oh, I didn't think he meant it creepy. Like, I just thought it was, I thought he was just trying to be funny.
I think he was, but I think there's a line between like his dry, you know, sarcasm type things. But it was just, I think the way that it was delivered, even it was like, it's just like asking if there was any deaths around here since 1892.
Yeah, no. Nope, they're all still alive.
Correct.
So they say they're going to follow the advice. And then Amy says if Crystal and her family do this, they'll be fine. Their dreams of opening a bed and breakfast should come true. Mm-hmm. And then it went right to the next episode for me.
Oh, but I had it.
Yeah. And I did go get screenshots when I watched it on Hulu, but you go ahead and tell everybody what happened.
Immediately after the investigation, Mike was attacked by an unseen entity. Crystal is now searching for a medium to cleanse their home. And that's all we get.
That's all we get. So we don't know. Mm-mm. So again, Crystal, Mike, or Brittany, if you're listening to this and you would like to come on and tell us your story, we would love, 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 love to hear it.
Absolutely.
Yes. Because we're invested now. We hope you're okay. Yeah, this was a good one. I like this episode.
This was a great episode
because I really like the family. Thanks. I really like the family and all of that.
And it was, I mean, there was a lot of stuff in it, but it was also in a way the content was slightly lighter than some of the ones that we've had with heavy racist tones.
We didn't have any demons.
No, we didn't have any demons.
It's been a while. We've had lots of demons lately.
We just had psycho something manifestations.
Yeah.
Psychokinetic.
Psychokinetic, I think it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for joining us for this time. AP is going to tell us what we're doing next. Well, next week is going to be probably a sideshow episode, but the next Dead Files episode is going to be.
Yes, our next episode that we're going to be covering is an episode called Dark Inheritance. It's season 3, episode 14. Again, could be a little off depending on if you're streaming from Max or Discovery Online, or if you're watching Travel Channel on demand.
Yeah.
The Travel Channel synopsis is Steve and Amy investigate a frightened family's claims of violent paranormal encounters inside their home in Winthrop, Massachusetts. While Steve discovers the property's violent past and Amy confronts a vengeful, disfigured entity that wreaks havoc on the living. So this was Megan's choice. So we asked her why she chose this one. And she said, Amy, I'll let you go with that.
Oh, okay. She said, because it takes place in Massachusetts and I love their accent. Good a choice as any.
Why not?
This is part of our chill. What did we decide it was called?
Chili chats.
Chili chats. So yes, that's one thing. Chili chat. We should have talked about this in the beginning. I forgot. We have picked episodes that take place in chillier climes, just like for our spring break, we picked episodes that
were in. Did you just call it climes?
Yeah. Yeah, haven't you heard that term?
No.
Oh, yeah.
I've never heard it called climes.
It's short for climates.
I get that. Climes. I've never heard that before.
Really?
No.
I haven't used it before. Anyway, so we picked, stuff where either like people look like they were snuggled up or it was really snowy or whatever. But like the really snowy ones, like in Buffalo, those we've already done. Mm-hmm. So we don't want to do those again. But that's what we were doing. And we're only doing 3 this time. We each picked 1 instead of doing 6 weeks. We're only doing 3.
Yes.
But that is that was sort of our theme. And because we use the name Chili Chats, we decided that we would also probably talk about chili. Like kinds of chili we like. We're going to have the whole beans, no beans discussion next time because Megan is a no beans.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a more beans than meat.
Yep. I will try just about anything in it, though. I do find people in Iowa and Wisconsin do cinnamon rolls and chili.
Really?
I've also known people who are like, yeah, I have to have my peanut butter sandwich with my chili. I'm like,
okay, that
excuse me, what?
Odd. I love a peanut butter sandwich with chicken noodle soup because there's something weird about the two flavors that at first taste really weird in your mouth together, but they end up being delicious.
Yeah, my weird one is extra sharp cheddar and crackers with hot chocolate.
Oh.
Not like I dip it in, but I
just
crave
it together.
So if I have a really good thick hot chocolate, I crave that balance of the sharp cheddar.
Interesting.
Not like Colby, not like Swiss.
No.
It needs to be that hard, sharp cheddar where you get that bite.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I have learned my grandma on my dad's side used to, that was something, she would always have cheese and crackers and hot cocoa.
Oh. So I think that I will pick a chili recipe and we will feature it on socials. And then next week, Megan can pick one with no beans, whatever. And then when it's your episode, you can pick one.
Yeah. I've got a good sweet potato black bean chili that I've done. That's a vegetarian chili.
Nice. Okay.
Or I've added ground venison or turkey and stuff to it. But
yeah,
I like a good vegetarian chili.
I don't know which one. I have a couple. My just regular red chili is yummy, but I don't really follow a recipe.
I just throw shit together. Problem.
I just throw shit together, but
nothing ever tastes the same twice.
I know my red chili doesn't ever taste the same twice, but I also make a white chicken chili
mm-hmm.
that I do follow the recipe because it was a Bon Appetit recipe that I then changed a bunch of things. So I call it my own and that I have written down. So that I'll probably use that one. It's really good.
Yeah.
It's really, really good. It sometimes tastes different too, depending on what kind of stock you use. Whether you use like homemade chicken stock or a different kind, but it's delicious. So
nice.
I think that'd be good if we do that, all different types of chili. So
can do.
Stay tuned for chili recipes.
Awesome.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody.
Yeah. Thanks,
Hope
everyone.
You enjoyed it. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Activity Continues podcast. We really appreciate you giving us your ears for a bit. Please feel free to drop us a note and say hi. And join us next time when the activity continues.
Nailed it.
This is just a disclaimer and sort of warning about this podcast. The Activity Continues podcast is in no way affiliated with the Dead Files, its production company, or any of its distributors. We are simply fans that love the show and love to talk about it and dissect it and, yes, make fun of it. But we do love it. And all of the opinions expressed herein are ours alone and have nothing to do with the Dead Files or any of its cast, crew, production, or distributors. And we swear. Enjoy.